Here we
You
go.
start. Oh, there we go. Okay, shalom everyone. Nice to see you again. And this is probably going to be the last Saffron Planet of this year. Lord willing, we'll pick up again in the first Monday of January, perhaps. We'll maybe discuss that later. But I think it's at this time of the year, I know perhaps a new year to us is not necessarily a new year to the Lord, but it's a good time for us just to pause, nevertheless, and to just reflect. And, you know, if you think back over the last 2 years in particular, I think if where we were this time 2 years ago, I don't think many of us would have predicted where we are today. And so world events are changing at pace. And I think it's a good time for us as his people to stop and pause and to reflect as a corporate body on what God is saying to us in these days and what should our priorities be as we go into this new year. So that's the kind of general theme, which I appreciate could be wide and vast. But I think our aim tonight is to seek him. And I think we'll just allow a little bit of time at the beginning just for us to focus our minds and to listen to his spirit, to see what he's saying to us right now. And then we will proceed from there. So before we go into that time, let me just commit this whole meeting to him. We want to hear from him. We don't want to hear from each other so as much, but we want to hear from him, what he has to say. So let's just commit this time now. Father, thank you. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Thank you for the body of Christ. And Father, thank you for this privilege of being together again. Lord, thank you that we are well and healthy. And Father, we pray, we do pray, Lord, this evening, as we gather. Lord, we want to hear from you. Lord, we know the days seem to be accelerating, the speed of world events, Lord, changing so quickly. And Father, we don't want to be caught off guard. Father, we want to be a pure bride ready for the bridegroom when he comes. So, Father, we are here to seek you tonight. We want to hear from you so that we, Lord, can align ourselves with what you are saying. That our priorities, Lord, would be aligned with yours. That we wouldn't be wasting our own time focusing on things we shouldn't be focusing on. So, Father, please, Lord, we need you to speak. Lord, we are reliant upon you, and we trust you to speak to us to this evening. So thank you, Lord. We commit this time to you. Be Lord of our time. Lead us, guide us, inspire us by your Spirit, we pray. And we say this, Lord, for the glory of the Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus. Amen. Okay. So welcome to anyone who's joined us during that time of prayer. Just a little bit of a recap tonight, where our theme is really hearing from God. As we start to think about and perhaps reflect on the year that's gone past and a new year coming, I think one of the most important things we could do is to seek the Lord and hear from him what he is saying and what his priorities for us, his children are. So that is what I hope we will hear from him about tonight. And so we're just going to start this evening with just a time of quiet, just for us all to pause and reflect and listen to what the Spirit is saying. And then we'll proceed from that place. So we'll just, if you want to turn off your screens, turn off your mics, whatever you need to do. And I'll call us back in a few minutes' time. Okay, thank you. So I'll just wait for the screens to come back on. Okay, so that was just time to seek the Lord. Would anybody feel led to share anything? Maybe a scripture, maybe a song, even maybe just a thought. Jeremy.
Following on from last week, listening again to David Andrew, I thought the preoccupation with Christ was quite central in what he was saying. And to that, I would add two scriptures that has been speaking to me this week. 1 Peter 4, verse 15, not to be a meddler, not to be a bishop in areas which are not central to what we're about. And thirdly, second scripture, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting our cares upon him. That being in the context of being humble, because the Lord resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, and in our humility, we will go forward, I hope and pray, casting our cares upon him.
Thank you, Jeremy. Would you like to follow up on that? Or? Rosalind.
Yeah, just in line with what Jeremy was saying about casting all our cares upon him, it's about the futures, I mean, it's always been unknown, but now particularly we don't know what's going to happen. So it's about obviously total reliance, but just being equipped to stand alone and to, we don't know what's going to happen. So it might just be that we are needing either to continue sort of in very dark times. I mean, we don't know if our life's on the line or whatever, to be able to stand there and not to fear. And also maybe even to be strong enough to, for those people around us, even though we, of ourselves, we wouldn't be able to do that. We wouldn't know quite what to do, but you know, for the, if we are aligned with the Lord's will, then he would, equip us to do that, really. So it's just being able to deal with any situation in the Lord.
Thanks, Rosalind. Lindy.
Yeah, I had a picture of Jacob's ladder. So I went to the scripture. It's in Genesis 28. And God promises Jacob, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I just felt that, you know, these troubled times, it ties in with what Jeremy was saying, that we just cast all our cares on him and just to trust him and listen and stay close.
Amen. Thank you, Lindy.
Oh, no.
I'll take that.
Yes,
no problem. Any other comments?
Caroline has her hand up now. And Sally.
Caroline, please. Thank you, Nigel.
Yes, thank you. I think one of the things that I've been really pondering a lot this last week since listening to David Andrew last week and your topic today is very much seeking the Lord about what I've been doing and whether I should have been doing it, and about not really being involved in sort of uncommanded works. Listening to something else in the week, and you know, when Jesus says, "I never knew you," you say, "But I've been doing this, I've been doing that, you know, I've been doing all this stuff." And it sort of hit me quite hard. I mean, not that I'm a very, very busy person in the church these days, I used to be, but even, you know, what meetings or what prayer meetings, I just felt very challenged by listening to David Andrew and been really seeking the Lord as to what he's saying, and just really wanting to be doing the right things and not doing the wrong things, even if those things look like good things.
Thanks, Caroline. That's really helpful. Yeah, so the distraction can come in many forms. And it's, you know, I know the temptation to try and need to fight this myself is the temptation to try and be busy and to make myself be a useful Christian, you know. But often, you know, you wonder, is everything that's done in the name of church activity, is it glorifying God? Is it producing the fruit that he desires? And yes, it's definitely something good to reflect on. Sally, thank you for your patience.
What the Lord has been laying on my heart for the last few weeks, and especially now, is actually Luke 21:28. And in the Amplified version, that reads, "Now when these things begin to occur, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption," and it says deliverance in brackets, "is drawing near." And, you know, the Lord is continually emphasizing to me that I must look up, not look down, not look at the circumstances, but to look up, look to him, and make him my priority, make him my focus. And I agree very much with what Caroline was saying just now, because the Lord has been saying, "Let me reorder your priorities. Don't do it yourself. Don't do it in your own strength. Let me do it for you. Let me show you what you need to lay down, and let me show you what you need to take up."
Thanks, Sally. Very helpful. Okay. Starting to detect a common theme. Nigel.
Yes, I was. I've been thinking about this since you posted it on the group, and I was thinking that really the theme that I'm sensing from the Lord is hearing from God. That is the theme, because the more uncertain the future becomes, the more important it is to have our hearts close to the Lord's chest, if you like, to be hearing his heartbeat all the time, to be listening to the promptings of the Holy Ghost throughout the day, not to, and I was beginning, I just had, well, in the silence that we had just now, I was thinking about it in terms of an army. So sometimes people expect that God's going to sort of send a dispatch, like in a submarine. You get your orders sent to you before you disappear from your main port, and you put them in a safe, and you only get them out when you get a sort of a radio communication that, you know, X has happened, so get your orders out. You know, sometimes people think God's like that, you know, we get our orders and we have to put them into action using our own discretion and wisdom. But it's much more like it, isn't it? It's like he is out with us in a small if anybody's got any military experience, is it a platoon, which is the smallest group of about 9 people, is it, in the army, where you go out and you're the platoon commander's right there with you in every single battle that you fight. It's like the Holy Spirit is our platoon commander. He's right there with us every moment of every battle. And we don't have to get orders in advance because he's always with us right there in the midst of everything that we're doing. But of course, he's even closer than that because he's right inside of us. I was just trying to find a military analogy. And for me, I'm not the sort of person who can really engage in thinking about themes for the future, because for me, it's all about responding in a moment to the Spirit's prompting to go and do something. I'm very happy to change my plans if the Lord says, there's someone, go and speak to them. But then I know that there are other people who are good at planning, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit speaks to them in a different way to how he speaks to me. So maybe those sorts of people will have different things to say tonight. I look forward to hearing them. I don't expect to speak much more tonight.
Thanks, Nigel. Fiona.
As we were waiting on the Lord, I was asking him for a word, and two passages came. One was from Jeremiah chapter 10, talking about not taking on the ways of the world or the gods of the nations, and the part that came to mind was 6 and 7. Since there is no one like you, Lord, your name is great, and your name is great in might. Who would not revere you, King of the nations? For to you only does it pertain. Since among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is no one like you. And then I had Isaiah 41, and again it talks about gods, but the passage that I was looking at in particular is from 41 verse 8. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham who loves me. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called you from its chief men and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you away. Do not be in awe, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I shall strengthen you. Yes, I shall help you. Yes, I shall uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all those who were incensed against you will be ashamed and confounded. They will be as nothing, and those who strive with you will perish. You will seek them and will not find them, even those who contended with you. Those who war against you will be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I am the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, do not be in awe. I am your help. And he goes on again to talk about being Israel's help. And I just think of the righteousness being the Lord Jesus and all that we have in him. And in the end of the chapter, it goes on to talk about that God declares the end from the beginning and what is coming. And he is sending his Messiah in chapter 42. And I just think that what I'm gleaning from that is that in spite of everything, he will help us. He will be what we need. And it's about knowing our God and his authority and power so that we can stand in that, because that is the only way we are going to stand. But he is the one who will help us. We are not to be afraid. And he will supply everything that we need. And by his great name, he has said it. And this I am is his name. And it comes out many times in this particular passage that I've just read. And I think the Lord puts on store by his name, his particular name of I am. And I just think that he wants us to know him so much better and to realize his authority and power so that we can stand in these days.
Yeah. Amen, Fiona, thank you. Thank you. As you were reading that, I sensed the heart of the Lord speaking, so thank you. I think it's a very apt word for these days. Chris, I think you were waving your hand. Yep, over to you.
Well, hello, everybody. It's great to be here again. And it's been fascinating to hear how folks have been sharing, and just to key in to something that Fiona was saying a moment ago about our Father God and his being a warfaring God. She didn't use that term, but that's what came through to me, that he really does mean business and that he intends to deal with his enemies. And I was led to Judges chapter 3, which has always fascinated me. It begins in a most extraordinary way, talking about the enemies of God's people. And this is what it says. It says, "These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who'd not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who'd not had previous battle experience." And then he goes on to list them. The first mentioned in verse 3 is the five rulers of the Philistines. And I find that quite extraordinary, that when you view the thorn in the side that the Philistines were to Israel in subsequent centuries, it is extraordinary to think that the Lord allowed them to invade the coast of Israel at around the same time as God's people Israel were coming out of Egypt. It was strategic to the Lord in order that his people might learn warfare. And I honestly believe that this is something that the Lord is saying. And as we were quiet at the beginning, Barry, I felt the Lord was wanting to say to me, to say to you, tell my people I love them. Tell them to be ready for a display of my glory in the face of my precious Son. Allow that glory to shine on all your proclamation so that my people will be equipped to stand firm and stand fast in the days of ever increasing conflict. I have chosen you to be warriors and to equip my people to learn warfare, to see Satan driven back. Learn how to take ground from Satan, so that my kingdom will advance at his expense. You will be harshly criticized. Do not yield to pressures to back off. I offer that to you to weigh it, but I felt that's what the Lord was wanting me to say to you all.
Thank you. Thank you. Chris, could you read that again? So. Would that be okay?
Indeed. Tell my people I love them. Tell them to be ready for a display of my glory in the face of my precious Son. Allow that glory to shine on all your proclamation so that my people will be equipped to stand firm and stand fast in the days of ever-increasing conflict. I have chosen you to be warriors and to equip my people to learn warfare, to see Satan driven back. Learn how to take ground from Satan so that my kingdom will advance at his expense. You will be harshly criticized. Do not yield to pressures to back off.
Thank you, Chris. I'm just wondering if after this meeting, Chris, you would be able to type that up and send it through to us just so that we have a copy of that.
Yes, yep. Of course. Only be
possible. Thank you. I think that would be something that would be very helpful for us to take away and consider afterwards.
Okay, gladly.
Thank you, Chris. Right, folks, would anybody like to respond to what Chris has just brought? Rosalind.
It's absolutely spot on. Thank you, Chris. That's my tendency, is to tend to back off when it gets particularly hot. I've been guilty of that, and I do repent of that regularly. But it's really hard, and just get so tired, to be honest. It's just, I don't tend to push forward. I tend to back off, and that's wrong. Sorry.
Thank you, Rosalind. Thank you for your honesty. I think many of us would suffer the same way, perhaps. Fiona?
I just got a suggestion that maybe we could just pray and just lift this to the Lord and just ask if there are things like just being shared about backing off, that we just confess that, if that's something that has spoken to us in this word, and just ask the Lord to confirm it to us and ask for further leading on it.
Yes, so thank you, Fiona. I think that's very wise. So let's just take a time to pause on this then now. Feel free to pray by yourself, but if you feel that, particularly if you feel led to pray corporately, then feel free to do so. But let's just take a moment to listen to that. Maybe Chris could just read it to us one more time, if that's okay with him, and then we'll just pause after that and we'll listen to the Lord again.
I think it's right for me to say that I'm never one for saying, "Thus saith the Lord," apart from scripture, and this is not scripture. So you have to weigh this. Mm. Yes, I do believe he gave it me, but you need to confirm that for yourself. Mm. Tell my people I love them. Tell them to be ready for a display of my glory in the face of my precious Son. Allow that glory to shine on all your proclamation so that my people will be equipped to stand firm and stand fast in the days of ever-increasing conflict. I have chosen you to be warriors and to equip my people to learn warfare, to see Satan driven back, learn how to take ground from Satan so that my kingdom will advance at his expense. You will be harshly criticized. Do not yield to pressures to back off.
Heavenly Father, you've just reminded me of a scripture. Arise and give light, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has shone like the sun upon you. For behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord will rise like the sun upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising.
Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters, Father, and thank you for what Chris has brought to us. And Father, we lay it before you. Lord, we ask you to confirm through your word and through your spirit what you are saying to us. Father, we pray that you would reveal to each one of us, Lord, the key parts of that word, Lord. If it's relevant for us, Lord, make it very clear, Lord, to each one of us, Lord, how we need to respond. Because, Father, it's for your glory. We long to live for you. And Father, I am guilty, Lord, of backing off under pressure. Lord Jesus. Oh, Father. Lord, we know that the enemy is busy. And yet we know that in Christ Jesus, he is defeated. Father, teach us. Teach us. Teach us, Lord, how to fight with the tools you have given, with the weapons that you have given. Lord, help us to teach others that your name may be glorified in all the earth. Oh, Father, have your way, Lord. Teach us to pray. Teach us, Lord. Oh, teach us how to overcome. Teach us how to overcome distractions. Teach us, Lord, how to focus our minds on your word. Teach us, Father. Teach us, Lord. Gary, if you'd like to speak.
Yes. I think it was very humble of Chris to say that what is sure is when we quote from the scriptures about what the Lord has said. But as Chris was reading it, I couldn't write fast enough to get it all down longhand. But I wrote down about 15 what I call poignant quotes. And in looking at them very quickly, I think many of us, if we were given 20 minutes, we could probably find scriptures to go alongside of every one of those loaded statements that Chris gave us. So therefore, in testing a word, it is so clearly in line with scriptures. And of course, we do have to test it, but I think we'll be fairly safe to say it's a pretty sound word. Because of that, what does worry us is when someone gives a word, like I heard somebody once give a word in a church meeting, and they use the word, don't count the cost. Well, the scripture says to count the cost before you build a tower and so on. So when we have those variances, we can be hesitant. But I think this is very, very poignant. I think it's very instructive. And the number of people that have already said things like, I tend to back off. The thing that really spoke to me was the very first statement, tell my people I love them. And something that begins like that is usually from our Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Gary. It's very helpful. Thank you, brother. I am loath to rush on from this, so I'm not going to. I want to give people time, and if that means silence, then by all means, let's not rush away from this moment. So, Nigel, over to you.
Yes, the phrase that really came through to me was, learn to take ground from the enemy. Or something similar to that. And I messaged you, Barry, before this meeting, but you may not have had time to see it.
Right.
With a suggestion about something for us to do at Saffron Planet in the coming year. And I wondered whether we might consider, whether you might prayerfully consider us looking at how to pray more biblically, and thereby taking ground from the enemy. That would seem to me one way that we might learn to take ground from the enemy.
Amen.
Something to pray about and consider.
Indeed.
And this might be a good forum to do it, because we've all got a lot of experience, well, in different areas. And I just think that it could be a good forum.
Mm.
Rather than, you know, we could all probably go away and learn from our favorite types of teachers, but we could probably all end up with slightly different ideas about how to do it.
Hmm.
It might be quite good to kind of pool our knowledge.
Yes.
Rather than just have one person teach it.
Yeah. No, I think I would very much agree with that, Nigel. I would like to give a full session to that, because I think one of the things the Lord was impressing on me before the meeting and during the time of quiet was about prayer, and becoming more strategic and more focused, because I can pray a lot, but is what I'm praying, is it the effective, is it the way to pray, is it the right way? So I would like to give a full session to that, Nigel, and probably the very first session of next year, Lord willing. I think that would be excellent. For tonight, given that we've only got maybe a half an hour or so left, I would like to just leave this open to listening to what others have to contribute about what Chris has brought to us, to see if there's anything, other avenues that we might need to pursue in the new year. If there's some themes coming out of this, then we could take them in separate sessions. Gary, over to you.
Yeah, I would endorse 100% what Nigel's just said. And the word that came out to me quite strongly was the word equipped. Many of us need to be equipped. I think equipping has got something to do with mending nets in the Greek. If a part of the net gets broken, it has to be like the disciples were mending their nets. I think the word equipping in Greek refers to that. And so as members of the body of Christ, we might need a bit of mending here and there according to what this word says. For example, about don't back off. What about being a warrior? Are we too timid to be a warrior? How are we going to handle criticism? Are we too inferior to think about displaying my glory, the glory of God, and so on? So I think equipping is vitally important. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Linda.
Hello. You're still muted, Linda.
Oh, sorry.
We can hear you now.
Oh, okay. I can't see myself either, so I don't know where I am. I can only see Nigel. But it's a very nice view. there I am. I wanted to say the same. When I was listening to the word, I felt it was a we word, not an I word. And I thought, Lord, I know what you're doing in my life, which is exactly those things, I have to say. So I'm actually grateful. But I thought it's together that we have to learn this somehow. And so I was very grateful to Nigel to have that wisdom about it. Because I think, you know, I don't know. That's what I thought anyway. And learning together is a really good thing, because then we grow together, don't we? Mm. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Fiona.
When Chris was giving his word and saying about taking ground, I was very much reminded of Ephesians 6 about how our weapons are not carnal, but they are strong for the pulling down of strongholds. And that so many people think of the armour of God as being something you've got to put on, whereas
The Lord is our salvation. He is our head. And our breastplate is his righteousness. Our belt is his truth. And we're shod with his peace, the peace we have with the Lord. And the sword of the Spirit he gives us. And the shield of faith is something he has given us. And I was going back to the passage in Isaiah 41, where the Lord says that, he says, do not be in awe, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I shall strengthen you. Yes, I shall help you. Yes, I shall uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And Jesus is taught, referred to in Isaiah 53 as the arm of the Lord, and the right arm of the Lord. And righteousness is something. And I was thinking of Psalm 23 about how we are to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and that it's his righteousness. And as we realize what we have in and through Jesus, we are saved, we are righteous, we have the truth, we have peace with God, we have faith, we have the sword of the Spirit. And we're encouraged to be praying in the Spirit at all times. And I think that this is something that would help us in our training as we learn how significant all of these things are for us, not just as individuals, but as a body, and that we can together overcome and stand, and not just stand, but go forward as the Roman army did, with our shields together and protected by the Lord, who is our help. So that's just something, just a few thoughts.
Thank you, Fiona. Thank you very much. Jeremy. A
couple of years ago, I was in a Praying for the Nation group when someone had a picture of Christians throughout the land walking in step behind the Lord Jesus, and the sense of that togetherness and walking behind him dressed appropriately. And I was taken with the Jesus-centeredness of what Fiona was just sharing, you know, this sense of it being the Lord's, perhaps it's the Lord's battle. I mean, certainly Judges 3 was the Lord's battle, wasn't it? You know, the Lord had to see how we'd respond, and we want to be together and respond together for him.
Thanks, Jeremy. Rosalind.
In relation to sort of taking things forward and not backing off, it's difficult to know the difference, because so often the Lord wouldn't respond, would he, to certain things, because it can so easily become flesh. If someone says something, it would be easy to respond in the flesh. But isn't it more in keeping with Christ to keep our counsel and not say anything and just leave it with him to deal with? But then that can be perceived as maybe cowardice, or backing off, or being soft, or wishy-washy, or whatever. But it's ultimately, we stand ourselves, you know, before God, and he knows, he can see all what's going on. So it would be easy to react or to respond rather with some sort of, as I've tried sometimes with scripture, and that's not worked. And then some things come back, which it would be easy to respond to that, but My sense is that better to just, you know, don't react, don't respond, don't say anything, just leave it with me, So how would you know to take things forward, to get the ground without doing anything? I mean, obviously there's prayer, you know, you take it to the Lord, you pray about it. But as part of, you know, what we're going to cover, we need to know when to speak and when to keep our counsel and just leave it with the Lord to deal with, because he knows. You know, it doesn't matter if we're misunderstood or if people say things or think things, that's it. It's not flesh, is it? It's with the Lord. So how do we know the difference between? And, you know, for example, a few months back in these sessions, I was told that the way to respond to something is with scripture. And I tried that and it was just so ugly. Something came back, which words were so, something came, which was from the pits of hell. So I just, you know, I didn't respond directly to it, but just the only thing I could say was glory to God. I mean, I didn't know what else to say, and maybe that wasn't the right way of dealing with it. But how do we know the difference? How do we know when we should, if we're using scripture and that didn't work, there's little else we can do, is there? I mean, other than just leave it with the Lord, just commit it to him and pray about it. But then we're seen as being passive and we're not taking ground. So what are we to do?
Thank you, Rosalind. Before I go to Linda, I just want to give the opportunity to respond to your questions. Would anybody like to respond to Rosalind?
I was trying to respond partly.
Go ahead then, Linda.
There's a lot that she said, but it's a testimony, really. I was recently in a prayer meeting and it was basically trying to reach to the Lord and not pray about stuff, if that makes sense. Trying to be listening, doing what we did first thing, and not give him our great list of everything that needs sorting type of meeting. It wasn't my meeting, but that was the meeting. And somebody in that meeting, I can't even remember the context, but they suddenly said, "It's Linda's fault," and were obviously offended by something, but I had no idea what at all. And basically it became quite difficult. But I just want to say that I did do what Rosalind is talking about, and the Lord gave ground in my heart afterwards. I went on a retreat, which he arranged, and he sorted it all out. He just taught me stuff, showed me how to forgive and different things. It's too long to go into, but he was taking ground in my heart of, you know, saying, and also it was about offense, because later I found out actually that the person who said the thing had secretly told someone else that they were never coming to a meeting if I was there, but they hadn't said anything to me. They'd never spoken to me about what caused offense or anything else. So I was completely in the dark, and obviously I forgave, but the pain, the Lord sorted it out in private afterwards. And I believe that was taking ground. We might think taking ground isn't speaking scripture or doing something like that. Often when I speak to my family, they react. I mean, another example is 2 days ago. I said that the rainbow was something to do with, the first rainbow was Noah. It was to a two-year-old in my family. And my sister comes along and goes, "Well, that's the second rainbow." And it was immediate offense at speaking scripture. So I do understand what Rosalind might be trying to say, but I still think that being truthful and speaking the scripture in season is declaring to the principalities, if you like, who's God. It doesn't mean that we win the argument. It doesn't mean that we don't get offended or hurt or people don't take offense. That, I don't think we can stop that, to be honest. I think we just have to forgive offense when it comes, and release the people, you know, don't hold grudges and all that sort of thing. I don't know if that helps. The other thing I was going to say was connected to, I think it was Fiona, about the thing about the Lord's, at the beginning when we were quiet, I got two words, obedience and faithfulness. And I think it's us being obedient to what we believe God is asking us to do, and God will be faithful. If you see what I mean, I don't think, you know, we can't be faithful unless God is faithful in us. But those, I just wanted to say that, because we won't always win arguments. We won't always get it so that there's no backlash. But that surely is taking ground in one way, because we're being faithful. The disciples weren't always liked. I don't know if that makes sense.
Thanks, Linda. Rosalind, did you want to come back?
If I could, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It makes total sense what you're saying, Linda. And it's absolutely not about sort of, it's not on a worldly plane, is it? It's not about the flesh. And that's the whole thing that we need to avoid. When you say about taking ground, that's happened in my experience too, where the Lord has sort of ironed out things which maybe I had perceived and, you know, sort of had sort of ideas about how things are, and they're actually nothing like what I thought they were. Had preconceived ideas about certain things which turned out very differently, and it was the Lord teaching me, look to me. I mean, we're so different, aren't we, as human beings, if you see what I mean. So even though in the worldly realm there may be lots of cross wires and things, which is inevitable, and that's part of the cross, isn't it, really, that we're all going to have to deal with in this world. But in the sort of, I don't know what the word is, but sort of behind the scenes, the Lord is teaching us things which makes us understand more in terms of our spiritual walk. So in the worldly realm, it doesn't work out sort of with us mortals, but the Lord is teaching us, if you see what I mean. That probably doesn't make sense either, but it made sense to me what Linda was saying. Sorry.
Okay, thank you, Rosalind. Just wondering, Rosalind, if you would like to speak to someone perhaps at the end, we can have someone available if you'd like to talk through your questions in more detail. Feel free to stay on at the end and we can try.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. But it's nothing in terms of, like Linda was saying about, you know, sort of forgiveness. I never, because I don't allow it to go that far. As soon as I even have thought, I just committed to the Lord and just, you know, sort of not refuse to go there. So I don't get into that sort of mesh, if you see what I mean. So that I don't need to talk about that. But if there's anything else, then by all means.
Thanks, Rosalind. Christiane.
Hi. I just want to come back to what Rosalind said in the beginning, that she wasn't sure that when she prayed that we need to pray, she found it a bit difficult to pray with the word, but which is God has commanded us to do that. That's the best way to pray, with the will of God, which is the word of God. And he said that in the book of 1 John 5:14 and 15, he said, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So God hears us when you pray according to his will. And the will of God is his words. So we cannot just pray for the sake of praying that make you comfortable. If you want God to answer your prayer, you have to go to the words. And he said that, and if you know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Yes, me too, I had this problem before. You know, it's so difficult to pray. You know, you got a situation where, example, when Joshua and Caleb, they went, you know, to look the land, to look how they were living when Moses sent them, and they have the courage to go there, you know. So we have to trust. That's the subject that tonight, that we have to trust in God, not to trust of ourselves. When God said to you something, you have to believe, but it has to be according to the word. You have to find the story or the verse in the Bible, and then you'll be a little bit confident to pray. So me, sometimes when I don't know where to find the scripture, you know, you go to Google. And then you just tap what you wanted to know, and then he will give you, I mean, Google will give you the scripture so that you can meditate on it and then you can pray. That's how I learned how to pray with the words. And it works because that's the commandment of God. He said you have to pray according to his will. So I hope that he helps you. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Christiane.
Yeah.
Thank you. So in the time that's left, anybody else have any comments about anything that struck them as Chris was speaking that word? Malcolm.
Just listening to Rosalind and Linda, the word prayer came up a few times. And I just coupled that in my mind with what Chris said about warriors. And it's something to which I aspire, is to be a prayer warrior. And it is something which I feel that I should be, or should learn to be, I should say, even at my exalted age, is to become a prayer warrior.
Thank you, Mark. Lindy.
Hi, I've recently joined up with another couple of people to pray with the student pastor at our local university. And actually listening to their stories, they're quite amazing, these students. They're very committed to God and they prayer walk the campus, and it's really coming home to me how important just actually being with God and just praying and being in his presence is, you know, whether it's on your own or with a group. And when I've been praying for the students in that small group, there's just three others and myself, you know, we wait on the Lord and God just somehow shows us what exactly it what is he wants us to pray for that particular evening. Mm. You know, through pictures or scriptures.
Just... Thank you, Linda. Thank you. Yeah, it's just as you were speaking, a thought occurred to me to... You know, if we're trying to understand what God is saying, or if we're trying to discern how he wants us to pray, I believe the greatest barrier to that is not how he will say it, but it's whether we really want to know. If we truly desire and we truly seek him, he will find a way. He knows the way to speak to us that we will be able to hear. And that's at different ways at different times, but he knows how to speak so that we know it's him. But I think what we have to resolve in our hearts is, do we truly want to pray his will? Because if that's settled in our hearts, and it's outworked through our focus, then I believe God will make it very clear. But that'll be in different ways. But we will know when he speaks. So I think the focus for us is making sure that we truly do want to pray according to his will. Maureen. Sorry, you're on mute, Maureen, sorry.
Sorry. Well, this morning I prayed this morning, and when I've heard this word this evening, I feel encouraged. As I got into my car, went out, and I hadn't put my armor of God on. I physically put it on in spiritually. Just put it on. And so I'm driving along in the car, putting my armor on and praising the Lord and thanking him for such a wonderful Father we have. Because what would we be without him? What would this world be without him? Where would we be? I'm just giving thanks to him, for he is so awesome. He's so amazing. He's such a wonderful Father. So I feel encouraged by the word today, tonight.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you.
Just feel, oh no, I'll pass to Gary. Over to you, Gary.
Seems to come over quite clear this evening that many people have shared some good things, but what I sense is that there seems to be a real need for God's people to be able to pray together, which I think, because in the scripture Chris gave us, was that the generations of the children of Israel may be taught to know war. So obviously it's an army, it's a group of people, not just individuals. So one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot over the last few months is many people, including myself, are not necessarily in fellowship with any particular church at this moment in time. Nevertheless, we need to be knit together for prayer. So how a group like us and others in Salt Shakers would be able to somehow or other pray together or reach each other at a time of need, to post a need for support in praying in a particular situation, seems to be something perhaps that could be thought through, how that could actually work electronically. Because it's a wonderful thing to post out a need. I know on one Tuesday evening in the fellowship meeting, I personally shared a family need. And I felt so blessed that people took that on board. And Mary, who's here tonight, a few weeks later, Mary said to me, Gary, how is your granddaughter that we prayed for? That really touched me. That told me that Mary had been praying for my granddaughter from the time I requested. So perhaps it needs to be more deliberate than accidental, that we can link up in our times of need for prayer to be able to post or something privately, effectively, to be like an army at war backing each other, rather than being picked off in isolation. And in an army, there are many different groups of soldiers, aren't there? There's the front line, there's a support group, there's the snipers, there's the SAS. Each has a particular function. And in the body of Christ, we need each other. We need to share ideas, share scriptures, take on burdens. Some people are great at taking on the enemy head on in prayer. Others perhaps are not so effective. So Barry, I put it to you as far as the host tonight and the leader of this particular group, of how there could be a possibility in the future of that type of thing working.
Thank you, Gary. Well, in terms of foundations at the minute, there is there's the Flockdown Church website, but that is perhaps a little slow in terms of how that would be communicated. If that was something was posted, I'm not sure how often people check that. What we do have as part of foundations, and we've had for some number of years now, is a WhatsApp group. But just sort of looking around the faces here, I think there's very few of us who are actually here tonight on that WhatsApp group. And that's been an effective way in the past for us. We've used that very effectively over the last three, four years. However, it's always good to have a rethink. And there's a lot of new faces now as part of the foundations group. So I think it's something I will take away and certainly think about the best way to do it. If you all have mobile phones, that's usually the best way, because it's usually we can almost have an immediate alert on it. But I would, if you've any suggestions yourselves, then please do, by all means, let me know. But I think it's a good idea, Gary. We need to be able to know how to pray for one another, understand, even though we're all many miles apart. Thank you for that. Just keeping an eye on the time, we've only got a few more minutes left. I was going to ask Chris to read it one more time, but he's not quite here at the minute, so I'll leave the floor open. There was one thing just before Gary spoke that was on my heart to share, and it may not be for everybody. I'm hoping it's for somebody. It's Proverbs 25, verse 28. Proverbs 25, verse 28, it says this: like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. I share that with you. I was thinking about this today. Obviously, going back to the days when this was written, a city without walls meant that the enemy could come and go as he pleases. And so in that context, if a man has no control over his spirit, the enemy can come and go as he pleases. I just share that in the hope that it will speak to at least one person here.
Gary, that's very strange. Proverbs 25, I started that this morning at my 6 o'clock in the morning with my prayer partner. So we study the book of Proverbs 25. It's very strange. So thank you. It's probably a confirmation that what we're doing is right.
Praise God.
Yeah. Yeah. And also for the prayer that you were saying, for me, what it came in my heart is, I think it's the best way is to do with the WhatsApp, because some people, they feel uncomfortable to pray in front of people. And sometimes you got, you don't have the courage to pray. So when somebody posts a prayer request, we all can pray by sending some message back to the prayer. I think that is the only way.
Yeah.
I think.
Good. So if If you it'd be good, maybe not now, but in the next couple of weeks, I will just post up my email address on the chat in a few minutes, Lord willing. And if you would be willing to be part of a WhatsApp group, then please let me know by email. Obviously, if you're willing to share your phone number, that would be helpful. Otherwise, you won't be able to be part of the group. But if you could share that. And also, if you don't have WhatsApp, please also speak to me so that we can maybe just think about if there's any other way that we could accommodate that. But for those of you who have been inspired by what Gary has said, please do get in touch. I'll just pop it up now in the chat so that you have my email address. It would be good as well for me to speak to Nigel and Christine, because perhaps they have something similar for their fellowship group. I'm not sure, or perhaps they're thinking about having something, or I'm not sure. It just occurs to me that the group that we've set up a few years ago doesn't include many of you, and I think that needs to change. But how we go about that, whether we have a separate group or whether we have a combined group that is in conjunction with the fellowship group, because I know some of you are part of that as well. So I can speak to Nigel and Christine about the best way to manage that, to try and limit the number of groups, because I'm sure if you're like me, you're part of quite a few groups. Lovely. So I'll just pop my email address there. It's rwbstevenson@gmail.com. Please do send through an email to me and just let me know if you'd be willing to join a group. And if you could provide your phone number, that would be great. Chris still hasn't returned, so I'll just leave the floor open. Is there anything just before we finish? Is there anything that people, that somebody would like to share that they feel that the Lord has laid on their heart and they haven't yet had the opportunity to do so? Ah, here he is. Chris, we're going to ask you just to read it one more time, if that's okay.
Of course it's okay.
And then we'll close the meeting from there.
Okay. I was called away by the telephone, I'm afraid. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no, don't apologize.
Right. I think, as has already been said, it's most important the way it begins. I think this has to overshadow the whole thing. Tell my people I love them. Tell them to be ready for a display of my glory in the face of my precious Son. Allow that glory to shine on all your proclamation so that my people will be equipped to stand firm and stand fast in the days of ever-increasing conflict. I have chosen you to be warriors and to equip my people to learn warfare, to see Satan driven back. Learn how to take ground from Satan so that my kingdom will advance at his expense. You will be harshly criticized. Do not yield to pressures to back off.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for bringing that to us. Lord willing, Chris will type that up and send it through to me, and then I can try and distribute it to those. And that's an extra incentive for you to get in touch with me by email. I can then forward it on to you. We'll hopefully also get it posted onto the website.
Just confirm your email address for me, Barry.
Yes, sure. I've just put it on the chat, but I'll just tell you now. It's RWB Stevenson.
Not in the chat, Barry.
Oh, sorry. I think I just sent it to one person. I do apologize. It's RWB Stevenson.
Yeah.
Do you want to spell Stevenson out? Because there's lots of different ways of spelling
yes.
it.
Yes. Well, so if you can see my name on the Zoom, it's spelled with a V.
Lovely.
So rwbstevenson@gmail.com. I've posted it in the chat as well.
Lovely. You'll have it in the morning. Is that okay?
Thank you, Chris. Bless you. And thank you, everyone, for all your contributions. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And we just pray that as we continue to weigh and test that word, that the Lord would continue to speak to each one of us. So, Lord willing, we will see you in about 2 weeks' time. And until then,
bye-bye for now.
Shalom.
Have a joyful Advent, everyone.
Shalom.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.